Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Co-host Joe here with you this happy Saturday afternoon. Always a blast to be on the air. We actually have a guest in the waiting, so I'm going to rush right through the show's introductions. Folks, the Silk or Joe Show is brought to you by the Main Street Radio Network. So we want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to exist. We are in our 10th year in some form or other. It used to be called Jane, used to be called Silk and Antrim. Now it's Silk or Joe. Go figure. It's been that way for actually 2 years now, just about coming up on the third year, in fact, that we're going to be going into that. So we want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for standing by us. Some of their sponsors haven't been too keen on our content, but they, and neither have they, quite frankly, but they have always had our backs. So we appreciate that. Also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing the show. Main Street Radio Network can be found at mainstreetradionetwork.com. You can go on that website, find out more about this show, find out about the Alan Nathan show, or you can go to alannathan.com for that one. I guess hosted them earlier this week, so you will hear me sometimes on there as well, yeah, maybe at least once a month. Actually, you heard me twice at the beginning of this month when I was over at CPAC doing that show. And you can find out about them on Twitter at Alan Nathan, or Main Street Radio Network is also on Twitter at Main Street Radio, and they are on Facebook, Main Street Radio Network. And of course, the Silk or Joe Show is on Getter, GETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show. And I'm giving this to you so rapidly paced because I know you can just, if you are listening to this, depending on what podcast site, you can just rewind it. If you're listening to it on CRN Talk, tough luck. Yeah, go to mainstreetradionetwork.com, find the podcast so you can get all this information about how to follow us, because I know I've gone too fast for you with your pen and paper. Now then, we are joined by Alexandra Levine. Speaking of CPAC, that is where we met. She is a political strategist and founder of Levine Consulting. Alexandra, happy to have you. How are you today?
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
Oh, good morning to you. So what made you found your organization?
Well, I was a volunteer first for President Trump in 2016. Then I became a field director for Governor Ron DeSantis when he first ran for governor. And then I became a campaign manager for many years. So I've kind of gone up the ranks. And then I decided, you know what? I was a volunteer, field director, and a campaign manager. Now I'm going to be a political consultant to work with state and federal races, candidates that are running for state and federal races, and put my expertise to the test.
All right. So how's this worked out for you so far? How is it like different than from what you're doing now from as your own independent organization from what you were doing earlier?
It's very different because as a campaign manager, you're only working with one candidate, one campaign. You're dedicating your life to that particular person. As a political consultant, you have the freedom to work with multiple different candidates and to consult not only the candidate, but the campaign manager, which is amazing. I started my firm within 3 weeks. I don't know anybody who has started a firm in such a short period of time, but I was very fortunate that because of the connections that I've made, that I have great people around me that I trust that have helped me in this journey. I put together a commercial very quickly, brochures, palm cards, business cards, and a complete website, which I will be expanding. I've also started to expand my business not only to political consulting, but small business consulting, because I am a small business owner. I have a lot of friends and family that are small business owners. So I will be doing more consulting in different genres as well and in different business senses as well.
Oh, cool. So that's something for people to look forward to. Where is your website? I'll ask you at the end of the segment as well, but just right in the middle, where is it?
Yeah, sure. It's levineconsulting.co, L-E-V-I-N-E, consulting.co. And you can go on and book a consultation with me right now, and it'll be awesome. It's an easy website. You'll love it. You'll see all my accolades. You'll see all the press releases I have. And like I said, I started this in 3 weeks, and it's going viral, and it's very fast and growing. And I'm so happy for the support and the love from everyone in this country.
Well, speaking of your growing group, hopefully we will be seeing a lot of your use in 2024 with the various races going on that year. At 2023, usually for elections, it's pretty dim. I think there's, what, just the Louisiana governor's race, maybe one or two congressional races. Next year is really the big ticket item. What do you see happening in 2024, particularly for the president? Both of your former people that you worked for, Trump and Ron DeSantis, they're going to be in that race, apparently.
Well, we'll see, because Governor DeSantis has not officially announced that he's running. According to law right now, he can't announce until after May, until after his session. I know they're trying to change the laws in the Florida legislature right now to see if he can announce that he's running before session. So we'll see what happens there. But I will tell you, if you are someone running for Congress or running for the U.S. Senate, I would advise you to start literally running now, meaning fundraise, network, give me a call. Do not wait till the summer. Do not wait till January 2024. It is too late. If you are someone that is planning to run in 3 to 4 years for a county council position or a delegate position, I would advise you to start planning now. Start getting your name out there. Start getting the support. Go to events that will get your name out there. Because that's the problem a lot with people that are running. If they wait so late, they have nowhere to go. They have no foundation. You need to start planning now. And this is how more Republicans will win, if we start planning in advance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really get your name out there, get that nameability out there, because otherwise you just suddenly pop up. It looks like you're just in it for just the temporary election. Doesn't look like you're really serious about it.
Exactly. That is correct.
So then, what lessons can we take from 2020, where Democrats, they hid their candidate, and, you know, there are allegations of election fraud, but still 60 million people voted for Biden, even if you count the people, even according to the people who believed in election fraud, but the official story, 81 million, that's still a lot of people who voted for some guy who sat in his basement all day. What can Republicans learn from that as to how they can counter that kind of dedication by the other side?
Well, one of the things that I've been very successful with is crossing the aisle. As a Republican, you have to be able to get into those uncomfortable zones or talk about uncomfortable topics that you've never talked about before. Especially if you're a Republican that lives in a very liberal district, do not be, or a liberal state, I should say. Like, I'm in Maryland, for example. It's a 2-to-1 Democratic state. So you need to be able to cross the aisle, go to those hardcore Democratic areas, those independent areas, and pull some people across your aisle and say to them, you know, what can we do to make our party more attractive to you? As one of my clients says, you have to, quote, make it your Republican party. And that's what we have to do. We have to be able to cross the aisle, bring people that would never vote Republican over to our side and listen. It's all about listening. Democrats listen. We as Republicans really need to listen to the opposition.
Yeah, that is something that I see a lot. It seems the Republicans, at least the reputation they have on the other side, is out of touch, entirely out of touch, not listening to the voters at all, especially the minority communities, that they just have this idea that Republicans aren't listening to them at all. And when you look at some of the establishment out there, it really does seem like that they're not listening. It seems like they're off in la-la land. But then again, same can be said for the Democrat establishment. But the key difference here is they're the ones who have the foothold in the community. So it's the Republicans' battle to win.
Exactly. And again, we as Republicans, we need to talk about issues that could be uncomfortable, or what I call more bipartisan issues, like environment. Environment is really big right now, especially with what happened in East Palestine, Ohio. There's environmental issues happening in Maryland, but what happened in East Palestine, Ohio, can also affect other states, even Republican states nationwide. So we need to talk about those issues, and we need to focus on environmental issues. One of the biggest issues that my governor, Ron DeSantis, he won with was focusing on the red tide issue. And that is an environmental issue that a lot of Republicans, you know, are afraid to talk about. But we as Republicans, we need to talk about some issues that can be uncomfortable that Democrats mostly talk about, but you don't have to change your values. Again, one of my candidates, who's a Republican in Maryland, you know, he came up with a really great concept, American kids first, as opposed to saying stop illegal immigration. He said to the Democratic community, American kids first. And a lot of Democrats voted for him because they said, we don't really like every issue that you focus on, but we like the fact that you put our kids first and we're voting for you anyway. So it's stuff like that. You got to just change the language a little bit without changing your principles and your hardcore beliefs.
Right. You listen to a lot of the Democratic rhetoric out there. It sounds like stuff that everyone in the public should agree with. It's just that the things that that eventually leads to are horrifying or stupid or somewhere in between that spectrum. So, but then Republicans, they're like, oh, well, this issue is something that we generally don't want to deal with because we might be weak on it, or it might be totally against our longstanding policies, like, you know, socialism, for example. So therefore, we're just going to dodge it. No, that doesn't sound like it should be the case. It sounds like you should go in there, figure out what the other side is arguing, and then come up with your own solution based on your own values, as you were just saying.
Exactly. And I had the pleasure of being a part of CPAC Shabbat, and former Congressman Lee Zeldin was there. And as you know, he ran for governor of New York. And he said, you know, I had some strategists around me that told me not to go into the hardcore Democratic areas. And he was like, I went against that because I had to go into those areas in order to yank some votes. And that's why he was so close to winning the gubernatorial race. And that's the kind of political consultant that I will be. I will tell you and advise you properly on the right areas to go to. I will never tell you, you can't do this, or this is not right, or you can't go into that area. That's the difference between me and others. My strategy is to get you to the finish line, and I will do everything I can to get you there. That is my job. That's why I do this, because I want people to win, and I want serious candidates that seriously want to win.
Your signal started breaking up there, but real quick, could you give us your website? We got about 10 seconds left.
Yeah, so my website is levineconsulting.co, L-E-V-I-N-E, consulting.co. Please book a consultation with me today.
All right, folks, go ahead and check them out. But also, we have more Silker Joe Show after this.
This message is provided by Boehringer Ingelheim. Idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, or IPF, is one of the more common forms of progressive fibrosing interstitial lung diseases, with symptoms including breathlessness during activity, a dry and persistent cough, chest discomfort, fatigue, and weakness. There are more than 200 lung disorders that can lead to pulmonary fibrosis, an irreversible scarring of lungs that can negatively impact lung function, quality of life, and may become life-threatening. While approved treatments for people living with these diseases can help slow disease progression, new therapies are needed to help potentially stop progression. Fortunately, there is new research underway to assess the safety and efficacy of an investigational treatment in patients with IPF and other progressive ILDs. This is part of Boehringer Ingelheim's Phase 3 Global Fibrinear Program. To learn more about Fibrinear and eligibility requirements, visit fibrinear-ipf.longboat.com and fibrinear-ild.longboat.com.
New research released to mark the International Day of Math reveals that math is the subject most American adults say they're afraid of, but is also the subject they most want their children to be good at. So to help them support their children in building confidence with numbers, a new, fun, and engaging computer game called Teach Your Monster Number Skills has hit the market. Junaid Mabeen is a math expert from Number Skills, and he says building your child's confidence from an early age is vital.
Getting kids confident with numbers from a very young age is so important to their long-term success in mathematics. And the reason I use Teach Your Monster Number Skills with my own children is that it teaches them about numbers, about how creative and playful numbers can be. It's very fun and also educationally very powerful. You can download this great game today. Just search for Teach Your Monster Number Skills online. It's available on all desktop and mobile devices. Trust me, you won't regret it.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve! It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silver Joe Show, everybody. Joined now by yet another guest from CPAC that didn't have a chance to get on the 6 hours of programming that I did there. We have Dr. Daniel Brubaker. His latest book is titled By the People. Dr. Brubaker, appreciate you being on the Silver Joe Show. How are you today?
Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. So tell us about this book, By the People. I understand it has to do with the 2020 election, particularly the military ballots.
Well, yes, and not only that, but the whole picture. I went and I decided to, shortly after the events, around the time, shortly following the inauguration, I decided somebody needs to do a deep dive and a thorough and trustworthy documentation of everything that has happened. So I spent the next 18 months writing this book and researching it and footnoting it and making sure that everything was checked out and so forth and connecting the dots. And the result was I think what is going to be a piece of history that people can reference for many years to come about what has happened and what the core issues really were.
Hmm. So what did you find in particular, at least that you want to share before, telling people, hey, all right, I've given you enough information to go buy the book.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, the emphasis of the book is really, I have a chapter on fraud, of course, but it is not really focused on fraud. A lot of people may not realize this, but you don't even need to address the issue of fraud, which certainly did happen, but you don't even need to address that issue in order to reach the conclusion that this election was illegal and that the outcome was other than what was officially endorsed with the inauguration of Joe Biden. And so I focus heavily on the Texas lawsuit, the argument of the Texas lawsuit, which is that we had people other than the state legislatures, which the Constitution was absolutely clear. The state legislatures have the single and what they call plenary or absolute authority to make election laws. And so many other people during the 2020 election were changing these laws, and they were doing it with money from Zuckerberg and with the involvement of friendly lawsuits and state secretaries of state everybody on partisans of Joe Biden were making these changes, which caused millions of ballots to be counted that were simply not legal to count.
Oh, my. So did you go into this with any sort of preconceived notion that was overturned, or what was the most surprising thing you found?
Well, the most surprising thing is I look back on this now, even you get your nose into these things and you do the research. Then as I stand back after having completed the project and I open this book pretty much at any part of the book, I look and I start reading. Number one, it's very engaging. Number two, I even teach myself and surprise myself at how plain so many of these things were that should have been. I think most people had a sense about it, but how really stunningly obvious so many of these things were, that there were serious problems that needed to be addressed, and they kept getting shoved under the rug. I have a couple sections that I could read you a couple of excerpts here if you like, but overall, it's just the whole big picture is just really, really stunning. And I think people are going to look back at this and go, what on earth were we thinking, and why did we not treat this more seriously?
Hmm. I have two other matters to get into with you in the short time I have. So circle back to this to name the book and where to get it at the end of the segment. But this isn't the only book you have. You also have another one that was curious to me. Red is Democrat. I just have this business card here with it on there. Tell us a little bit about that one, too. It's rather looks rather interesting.
Yes, that one is forthcoming. It's available for pre-order on Amazon, and it will be published at the end of April. And in it, I make two arguments. One is that sort of the catch or the hook of the book is that many people don't realize that for most of the history of our country or history of the parties, the Republicans were portrayed on election maps and so forth as the blue party, and the Democrats were the red party. Somewhere around the late 1980s, they sort of switched those colors and started designating the Republicans as red. And as you may know, colors have associations and psychological effects on us. Blue is generally associated with being trustworthy and calm and level-headed and so forth, and red is associated with being radical and, of course, with being communist or Marxist. And so I just argue that the colors are inappropriately assigned, among other things, but really the bulk of that book is a series of chapters where I talk about point-by-point issues of race and supporting science and supporting women and all these different things, one after another. I show how the Democratic Party is really more guilty of all the things that they accuse the Republicans of being guilty of.
I think that's, what was it, one of Solomonsky's tactics there, to accuse the other side of doing exactly what you're doing, right?
Yeah, it's called projection. It's a psychological thing that we all know about, and it is a tactic, but it is also something that people tend to do when they know that they are guilty of something. They tend to lash out and loudly accuse others of the thing that they really in their hearts know is their core flaw.
Yeah, it always bothered me, too, that about red being associated with the Republicans, because I remember back in the 50s, there was the Red Scare. Well, obviously, that wasn't the scare over Republicans being elected. It was Democrats who were, even back then, associated with the more socialist leanings. So it always just kind of bugged me. But you know, it makes sense that the colors got flipped pretty late in the game.
Yeah, and I think that there was my sense is that there was a reason to that. I believe that the Democratic Party was starting to become a little bit more open about their sympathies with socialism and communism. Of course, Lenin says that socialism is just the a waypoint or a venue to communism. And so I think they wanted to distance themselves a little bit by switching those colors. That's my view and opinion. And I've been down to the Library of Congress and looked at all the maps and done research on these things as well.
Now, also, you have an organization called Think and Tell. I managed to get three business cards from you, so I got this third one here. Think and Tell. What is that?
Well, that is just my publishing company that publishes these books. And Think and Tell is dedicated to the dissemination of ideas that are of importance to the world. And so they've also published my book on my academic area. I'm not even in the area of politics or whatever. This is a side thing that I'm doing as a U.S. citizen, but my academic work, I'm a professor and I work in the area of Islam and Quranic manuscripts. And so we publish. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was just about to interject there that explains why when trying to look up some more for your bio, I just see a Quranic scholar and all that and nothing about politics at all. I started thinking I had the wrong guy.
Yeah. No, and many people, as we know, who are in academia are tend to lean left. And I don't identify myself as a Republican. But I think that the core, what we see happening now is that the American society is being pushed further and further away from our founding principles, which are good founding principles. If you look at the core of liberty and justice for all. All men are created equal and endowed with certain unalienable rights. These things are all being taken away from us, and that's as we move farther left. And so I'm not a cheerleader for the Republicans, but I am certainly a cheerleader for those good principles upon which we were founded and aspired to achieve for so many years as a nation.
All right, well, we have about 35 seconds left in the segment, so this is now where I want to get you to pitch where we can get copies of your books, Red is Democrat, when that comes out, but also By the People, as well as where we can find out more about your organization, Think and Tell.
Yeah, you can find the books on Amazon and in some other places. The audiobook of the election book is out as well. But Amazon.com is called By the People, the 2020 U.S. Presidential Election and Theft of Americans' Rights and Self-Rule with Study Guide. Thanks.
All right, Dr. Daniel Brubaker, appreciate you being on the Silker Joe Show. Listeners, got more to come.
The pandemic is just one factor that forced companies to rethink the way they conduct business. In addition to remote employees, companies are uploading more data to the cloud, and workers are using a wide variety of apps and devices. As a result, businesses are more susceptible to security breaches than ever before. For 10 years, the Open Directory platform provider JumpCloud has helped businesses improve security and minimize vulnerability. Security continues to be a top concern for businesses. According to JumpCloud Vice President Eric Brown, organizations need to reconsider their approach.
Identity is the new center of IT and the foundation around which all IT infrastructure should be built. That's where we at JumpCloud come in. We help companies and people make work happen with secure, frictionless access to the apps and data they need with an open directory platform designed for identity transformation.
To learn how JumpCloud can help your business, visit jumpcloud.com.
Vitamin B12 is important for supporting not only our metabolism, but also our energy levels. Our brain and our nerves need certain vitamins like B12 in order to function properly. Even if you're eating all the healthy foods like fruits and vegetables and getting, you know, great sources of protein, it's sometimes the case that you can become deficient in one or more nutrient, and that's where supplements can be helpful. So if you want to support your B12 levels, Jarrow's methyl B12 is a great supplement to consider to optimize your B12 levels. This type of B12 is recognized by the body, so it's delivered to your cells more efficiently. It's also been shown that it is a great way to make sure that you're getting a highly absorbed form of vitamin B12 and one that's going to be retained better than other types of B12. You can learn more at jarrow.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. We are joined now by Brigitte Gabrielle. She is National Security Analyst, leading expert on global Islamic terrorism, chairman at Act for America, and New York Times bestselling author with her latest book, Being Rise. Brigitte Gabrielle, happy to have you. How are you today?
Thank you, Joseph. I'm delighted to be with you.
All right. Always happy to have you on our programs, whatever form they may take. I'm not sure if you've been on the Silk or Joe show under that name, maybe under the name Jane or Silk and Antrim, but I don't know if you've been on the last 2 years or not after the name change. So I understand now, though, that you're actually, it is sort of a national security concern when you think about it, but right now you're focused on Virginia schools and some of the curriculum that's been going down the children's throats.
Exactly. Well, look, brainwashing our children, you know, we wonder why we're losing patriotism. We wonder why our children do not understand the value of America. It's because they are changing them, brainwashing them through the education. And right now what we are fighting in Virginia, and this is what I want to talk about today, speaking of national security, they are literally deciding between whether we go with the Youngkin proposed, the updated and proposed school education for social studies and history, books, or with Northam. And Northam, the proposed Northam revision to the history curriculum, which now have been scrapped, and this is why we want to keep it out of the schools, basically halted the requirement of teaching some lessons on Christopher Columbus and Benjamin Franklin. They have scrapped the requirement of understanding why George Washington is called the father of our country and why James Madison is called the father of the Constitution. This is the stuff that the leftists in Virginia want to put in the schools. And that's why we're fighting. Now, Youngkin's program, Youngkin did the revision, the January 2023 revision, and Youngkin's history curriculum proposal includes kindergartners will learn patriotism, including the Pledge of Allegiance. Grades 1 through 12 will learn critical thinking skills. Grades 4 through 12 will learn about the civil rights movement in Virginia, and students would describe why James Madison is called the father of the U.S. Constitution and why George Washington is called the father of our country. And students would learn about Reconstruction and the Civil War. To continue, in 11th grade, students would learn about Christopher Columbus and about the race-based enslavement of Africans and more. Now, the Virginia Department of Education has scheduled 6 town hall meetings this month throughout the state of Virginia. And Joseph, we only have 3 left. One this Thursday tonight in Roanoke, one on Monday in Abingdon, Virginia, and one on Tuesday in Farmville. And after hearing from the public, they're going to decide for the next 6 years whether students in Virginia will follow the Youngkin program revised at January 2023 revision, or they would go with Northam, the brainwashing Marxist communist educational program. So we want parents to turn out and turn out in force. I cannot emphasize how important this is.
Right, because these kids going into the schools, they're the ones who are going to be running this country once they get out of the schools, and definitely running this state, running your local area, future doctors, future lawyers. If they learn through the Northam plan this lens where equity is the most important thing, race is the most important thing, whites are evil, well, gee whiz, I don't want my doctor to think why all white people are evil. Maybe I shouldn't give this white dude the same care I'd give someone else.
Exactly. I mean, look, under the Northam curriculum, they want to teach students the 1619 Project, critical race theory, diversity, equity, and inclusion, comprehensive sex ed, gender fluidity, and pronoun policy. I do not want my granddaughter or grandson to be standing there at 6 years old identifying with, I identify as he, she, it, whatever. I mean, when you listen to these pronouns, Joseph, it is unbelievable. They also want, under the Northam curriculum, they want transgenderism policy regarding girls' sports and privacy in bathrooms, showers, and changing room, and left-wing social justice. We cannot allow this to happen. And you know what? This is the most important 3 minutes for the next 7 years of your child's education is now. This is urgent. This is parents in Virginia versus the special interest group. And I can tell you, Joseph, the special interest groups, all the leftist, communist, Marxists are coming out in force. The first meeting held in Williamsburg on Monday night, the leftist, communist, Marxists showed up, outnumbered the conservative parents, 70-30. At the second public comment meeting, which was held at Mount Vernon on Tuesday, the leftist communist Marxists showed up and outnumbered the conservative parents 95-5. Now, if parents don't speak up now, they will have no further recourse. This is their last chance. The last chance. We worked so hard to get Youngkin elected. We spent hundreds of hours away from our families to go to school board meetings and fight for our children's education and future and to remove CRT from our schools. Now it will all be for nothing if we do not spend the next 6 days getting our parents to speak up against the special interest groups and the self-serving VEA. So we want people to share this information now. I know you're not going to remember all the information that I shared. If you want information about the meetings, go to our website, actforamerica.org. Send us an email at info@actforamerica.org, and we'll send you all the information you need.
Unfortunately, by the time this airs on Saturday, one of those meetings will have already fallen, the one in Roanoke, though. Williamsburg, they have that college right there, so I think it's they kind of lean left there a little bit. And then Mount Vernon, I'm not sure exactly where that is. Where is that? Like Northern Virginia? I think that's generally a blue
that's
area.
Right.
So maybe out in Roanoke, right, You'll see a much stronger showing for the conservative parents.
Yes, we need that. And again, Joseph, you know, the problem with our side, and this is why the leftists always show up. On our side, conservatives think, well, I vote every 2 years. And people think, once I voted, that's it. The job is done. Now, Youngkin is going to fix it all. I don't need to do anything. Or whatever, you know, my congressman, my senator that I just elected will fix everything. Or, you know, it's just like what happened under Trump. You know, Trump got elected. People sat on their, barrel on their behind and thought, Trump is going to fix everything. It doesn't work that way. There's a lot of things that happen in the 2 years between elections. And Joseph, our idea of I'm active, you know, on the right, people feel, I listen to talk radio. I'm very active. I listen to talk radio. I watch Fox News. I watch Newsmax. I read. I vote. I'm involved in my Republican Party or Tea Party or Libertarian Party. I show up for the monthly meeting and eat the rubber chicken. You know, this is all entertainment. This is all information and entertainment. Nothing happens unless you take action. And by the way, we make it so easy for everybody to take action on our website. I mean, I know now we are talking about education, etc., but there are so many issues we alert you about. And I know there's a lot of people listening to us right now, whether you're listening in your locality or whether you're listening from different states, you're listening on the internet. Please go to our website, actforamerica.org, actforamerica.org, and sign up to receive our action alerts. We notify you when there are bills coming down for a vote in your community or in your state. We notify you when there are city council meetings, important city council meetings, about important issues affecting your law enforcement in your locality, affecting your police, affecting your education, affecting important issues in your community where you can make your voice heard and take action. And even if you don't have time to show up in person to these meetings, at least you can send an email to your elected officials, which we, by the way, prepare for you regarding whatever bill coming down for a vote or an issue. We make it so easy for everybody to take action. So go to actforamerica.org. Make sure you're signed up to receive our action alerts so you can become a voice affecting your community and our nation.
A thought occurred to me too. These parent-teacher meeting, or these meetings for the curriculum, do they check to see if your kid actually goes to whatever school district that is happening in? Like, could someone say from, you know, a few 10-20 miles away from Roanoke, come on in and show up? Because I'm just thinking, you know, the Williamsburg meeting, even if Williamsburg was kind of red, I'm sitting in Newport News. I know Newport News is a deep blue area. So could someone have just driven up from here and crashed the Williamsburg meeting?
Look, conservative parents, the Virginia Department of Education tried to scatter these meetings around the states. And, of course, the curriculum affects all students. So whether your child goes to school in Newport News or whether your child goes to school in Richmond or in Roanoke or in Charlottesville, the school curriculum for the state is the same in all the schools. The reason why the Virginia Department of Education scattered them is because they wanted to make sure that people within an hour or a two-hour drive can drive. You know, the leftists drive 2 hours to show up to a meeting. The problem is on our side, Joseph, many people don't make the effort. That's the problem. And by the way, the meeting in Williamsburg, over 60 people spoke. Now, every person has 3 minutes to speak, and over 60 people spoke. And you can even email your 3 minutes to the Virginia Department of Education. So even if you don't show up to the meeting, you can still make your voice heard about the curriculum.
All right, Brigitte Gabriel, appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe Show. And again, the website, actforamerica.org. Listeners, we have more Silk or Joe Show after this break.
Spring is in the air, and now's the time to spring forward with a delicious breakfast from Burger King, an all-natural Simply Orange Juice. Begin your day with a sausage, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich with sizzling sausage, fluffy eggs, and melted American cheese on a toasted croissant, or a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit on a warm buttermilk biscuit. And make it a meal. All Burger King breakfast sandwiches go great with crispy hash browns and pair perfectly with a Simply Orange Juice with no added sugar. Never sweetened, never concentrated, and never frozen. Simply Orange goes perfectly with breakfast at Burger King and is rich in vitamin C. And now through March 31st on the BK app, Royal Perks members get a free single core sandwich with any Simply Orange Juice purchase. Use code BREAKFAST to redeem. Get a jump on spring with breakfast at Burger King, because you rule. At participating U.S. Burger King restaurants, Royal Perks account required. Restrictions apply. See offer terms for details. Not valid on delivery orders. Sponsored by Coca-Cola.
This is sponsored by IBM. Job seekers, students, and career changers want to pursue roles in science, technology, engineering, and math, but aren't familiar with career options. At the same time, online training and digital credentials are emerging as a recognized pathway to opportunity. Misconceptions about the cost of training and what's required are often roadblocks to success. To tackle this and bring STEM education closer to underrepresented communities, IBM Skills Build is announcing 45 new educational partners. IBM Skills Build is a free education program focused on underrepresented communities in tech, helping all develop valuable new skills and access to career opportunities. Justina Nixon St. Till, IBM Chief Impact Officer.
Technology training can have a transformational effect on a person's life. IBM is committed to raising awareness of the many roles that exist across industries in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. IBM Skills Build continues to grow with new partners around the world, working together to skill 30 million people by 2030.
For more, skillsbuild.org.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
My baby brother, a father.
Come on, it's time for his nap.
Whoa, he can't sleep on his stomach. Babies should always sleep on their backs in a safety-approved crib, and the sleep area should be clear of blankets, toys, and other loose or soft items. It reduces the risk of SIDS.
SIDS?
You know, sudden infant death syndrome.
Guess I need to start studying up on safe sleep for little man here. Being his favorite uncle comes with big responsibilities.
For more information, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. You want to give your baby everything, so start with a safe sleep area. Babies younger than one should always be placed to sleep on their backs on a firm and flat surface, like a safety-approved crib. And keep blankets, pillows, and other soft or loose items out of the crib when the baby is in it. Learn more about safe sleep for babies at safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. Thank you for sticking with us through this hour. We are joined in these last 10 minutes by the third guest of the day who I picked up at CPAC, Randy Landreneau. He is president of U.S. Inventor. He is a former president and current board member of the Tampa Bay Inventors Council and president of Complete Product Development. Randy Landreneau, appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe Show today. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Thanks for having me.
Night, happy to have you. So I walked by your booth at CPAC. And it seems that our patent rights have been under attack. I've got this little chart here that you are all handing out. Like you have 1787 Constitution ratified. Then you have several different major patent infringements going on. 2006 eBay versus Merck Exchange, 2011 America Invents Act, and the 2014 Alice versus CLS Bank, 2018 Oil States versus Greens Energy. It seems like all these have chipped away at our patent rights.
Oh, gosh, you talk about chip away. I got to tell you, and I don't want to depress your viewers or your listeners because we are the guys fighting the fight and we're gonna bring it back. But I got to tell you, the state of patent rights for inventors and startups in America right now is absolutely terrible. And, I mean, we're talking about the thing that our founders, the founders of America did that was so revolutionary that really jump-started our country, got us to being a world power way sooner than we would have. What it was doing something that went totally against the aristocracies that ran the world. What our founders said was, if you come up with something that's never been done before, you can own it, whoever you are, no matter whether you have land or are rich or poor or anything, you can own it. And that's what became our patent system and the rights of an inventor, the patent rights if you invent and patent something. The huge incentive to create something valuable that's never been done before, and the rest of the world kind of, you know, scoffed at it initially. Look at these crazy Americans. What do they think, you know, the common person can do? And a few years later, they're all saying, man, they're onto something. and it worked beautifully for 200 years. For 200 years, we led the world in innovation. You know, and one of the things we take for granted is when you're out innovating your adversaries, you're pretty damn secure, right? And that's what we had for a very long time. We were out innovating everybody, including our adversaries. Well, that's all changed. And what it really boils down to is multinational corporations who very often start as one or two individuals who are inventors in a garage, they end up becoming extremely large and changing their entire viewpoint and wanting to stop anybody from being able to compete with them. And what they did, and we're really talking big tech, it's whatever big entities are the current big entities of the time, because they've done this over the years, even since as far back as 1850, large entities have tried to weaken our patent system. But it wasn't until big tech came around that they got really good at it. And they got a law passed in 2011, the American Invents Act, that created where prior to that, your patent infringement battles would take place in a real court where you had a lot of due process. You had a jury. You had a real judge. Well, what this new law created in 2011, the American Invents Act, it created an administrative court. An administrative court without a jury, without a real judge, without much due process. And this is what the large infringers now use to invalidate the patents they're infringing, and they have an 84% success rate. How about that? And one thing I'll tell you, and there, that's not the only thing wrong with the system. That's a huge thing that's wrong with it, though. I mean, you invent, if you're an inventor today and you invent something truly valuable, now look, a lot of things that are invented are not that valuable. They might be very cool, but there's not really a market or can't really be produced at a price that causes a ton of people to want to buy it, whatever. But those few inventions that are truly valuable that in the past would have made you a millionaire or enabled you to have a startup that became a huge deal, those are now being taken out by large entities using this administrative court. It's really horrendous for this country. It's helping big tech monopolize further and further because they don't have the competition they should have. It's helping China get ahead of us in key technologies because, amazingly, they've actually kind of copied our patent system in the last few years. They've actually strengthened their own patent system to create, to generate their own inventions, but also to attract capital to Chinese startups based on Chinese patents. And they're taking startups that should be in America, they're now going to China. They're creating the next Silicon Valley on future technologies, and it's a real problem. But you mentioned there are a couple of other points too. So this administrative court is a huge problem. By the way, if your viewers want to know, it's called the Patent Trial and Appeal Board, the PTAB. And we're working hard to get legislation to really scale it back or even get rid of it. But the other thing that happened prior to that, there was a decision that the Supreme Court came down with regarding it's called the eBay case, where they decided that in that particular case, the infringer who was found to be guilty, it was determined that it was in the public interest. By the way, when the courts start talking about public interest, someone's rights are about to be taken away, right? They decided that it was in the public interest for the infringer to continue producing the invention because they could serve the market better than a startup. And what has happened since then is you win your infringement case after jumping through all the hoops and somehow getting to a win. If you're a startup versus a huge entity, it's extremely difficult, if not impossible, to get injunctive relief. That's where you can stop the infringer. And in that, for that reason, if they've already taken the market, how are you going to compete with them? How are you going to have the next great startup? How is an investor going to value this startup if they know that in the end you're not going to be able to stop an infringer? Huge problem. And then the third one, which I think we're running out of time now, but is another bad Supreme Court decision that has ended up causing just about anything related to software to be easy to invalidate. When in fact, in other countries, things like quantum computing and artificial intelligence, that's software based. That's hugely important. And, startups in China are running with that like crazy, where our startups are being taken down because we have this bad Supreme Court decision. So I've said a whole lot, but do you have any questions?
Now we got about a minute and a half left here. I would think that, well, actually not even a minute and a half. We have 30 seconds, 40 seconds,
okay.
But
okay.
I would just wonder, why would our companies allow this to happen? Because it would encourage development of superior rivals in other countries. They're against their own self-interest for short-term profit.
Absolutely. It is all about short-term profit. Look, these huge corporations, the big tech entities, they want to be in that Chinese market, and they do all kinds of things, including giving up all their trade secrets voluntarily to be in that Chinese market. The very short-sighted view, very bad long-term. But I would tell you this, for your viewers, your listeners, you can actually help us in this effort. If you go to usinventor.org and sign our inventor rights resolution, you'll be informed by us of what's happening. You'll know when there's a call to action where you need to call your senator or your representative and say, vote no on this or vote yes on that when it relates to this key issue for America. You can help us bring back this key part of this country.
I have to leave it there. Randy Landerner, president of U.S. Inventor, appreciate you being on the Silker Joe Show. Listeners, appreciate you tuning in this week. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.